We'll turn to the 8th chapter of Romans, and we want to notice the 14th verse. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It's wonderful to be led by the Spirit of God. My little message tonight doesn't have to do so much with God leading you or me to go here or go there or do this or do that or say this or say that or leading me to preach a message like this or any individual leadings of that nature, though they're all important, very important to our individual lives. Yet we're not thinking in those individual terms. But I'm thinking more tonight about how God leads all of us, every one of His children, in certain ways. And those ways are to confirm us in our sonship with God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. God leads every child He has in particular ways. And all of us in the same ways in these respects in which I'm going to deal in this little message. In the 9th chapter of Mark, in verse 2, he says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter and James and John and leadeth them into a high mountain apart." There were some remarkable things that took place, or rather, a remarkable thing that took place up there in that mountain. And that's why the Lord led them to that place. He was transfigured before them up there, and His raiment became white as the light, and His countenance shining as the sun. And they saw Him in a way that they had never seen Him before. This was important to them too. Peter referred to this on down the line in his writing about how they saw His glory in the Holy Mount. These people had been with Jesus when He healed the sick, fed the hungry, cast out devils, cleansed the lepers, and made the lame to walk and the blind to see. And in the happier days of His ministry, when multitudes had followed Him continually, they had seen all of this. But after they had seen all of this, Jesus had some more for them yet. And He led them where they could see that. Amen. And He was transfigured before them, and they saw Him like they never had seen Him before. They saw His glory revealed. They saw Him take on His glorified form. Right here before their eyes. I believe that Peter and James and John knew what a glorified body would be before they ever went to heaven. They saw it right there. I have a deep inner conviction that if you and I would permit the Lord and that He would lead us all the time in everything, that He would lead us into those places and those experiences where He could reveal Himself in a greater sense and become more real to us. Christ wants to be real in your life. He wants to be a reality to you. But He is the only one that knows how to lead us into those circumstances and conditions and places in our lives where this can be accomplished. We might search forever and never find what the Spirit of God can lead us into if we'll just let Him lead and let Him have His way with us. And I have an idea going in the back of my mind that if we would be always led by the Spirit of God, that He would lead us in the high mountain apart more than what He does. This high mountain apart is equivalent to the secret closet, your place of prayer, your place of devotion, of meditation, where Christ can be revealed to your heart in a clearer and greater way than He can in the hustle and bustle of life. As I mentioned, He wants to be real to you. And He wants to lead you out away from the hustles and bustles of life to where in the secret closet or in the high mountain apart or wherever it is, He can commune with your soul and reveal light and truth to you in a clearer and more distinctive and definite way and reveal Himself in a more glorious way. You can see Him more gloriously. In the 61st Psalm and the 2nd verse, He says, "When my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Amen. The Spirit of God would lead you and me to trust in the living God. One sister panicked when her child was stricken with an attack of acute appendicitis. She picked the child up and hurried to the hospital and committed it to surgery. Then she thought about the saints. And she called the saints for prayer. I said, "Why didn't you call at first?" She said, "I never thought of it." She panicked. Sometimes our hearts may be overwhelmed with sorrows and sometimes with joy. But in every case, our prayer should be, whether I'm overwhelmed with joy or overwhelmed with grief, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Amen. Lead me to remember the Lord. Lead me to trust in Him. Actually, you may be more inclined to remember the Lord in times of grief when you are in joy. There's something about joy that we kind of get carried away with. And We're more likely to forget God then than we are in times of grief and sorrow. But God would want us to flee to Him in our times of joy too and share our joys with Him.
Amen.
He shares our sorrows with us.
Yes, he does.
He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open unto me, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. I'll come in and bring my supper with me. And I'll sup with you of your griefs and of your sorrows. And you can sup with me of my joys and of my peace." We have a song that says, "It is not in grief to harm me while thy love is left to me. And it is not in joy to charm me were that joy unmixed with thee." We ought not to be satisfied with any joys that Jesus can't share with us, that He couldn't enter into and enjoy too. Personal, selfish joys don't last long. But the joys that Jesus can share with us, they'll last forever.
Amen.
Just go on lasting. And we should not be interested in joys that Jesus is not interested in, and that He could not share with us. We should not seek our peace and our happiness and our joys and our ecstasies outside of Him. It's all in Him. When my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me. The Spirit of God will just lead you to trust in God and to share whatever you have, joys or sorrows,
Amen.
With Him. In the 42nd chapter of Isaiah, in the 16th verse, he says, "And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. And I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them." Now he said, "I will bring the blind by a way they knew not, and I will lead them in paths that they have not known." Somebody said to me down in California, I met up with a man at a funeral, and I'd known him back in Clovis, New Mexico. So I shook hands with him, hadn't seen him for several years, was glad to see him. I said, "Hail, come over and see us someday." "Well," he said, "maybe I will, but," says, "you know, we Californians, we just kind of have a little beaten path here that we go in, and that's about as far as we get." Some folks are like that spiritually.
Yes,
they just kind of have a little beaten path that they go, and you get them outside of that territory, and they're lost. They don't know much what to do. I remember a lady, she lived in her own home and she was a widow woman. Well, I knew her before she was a widow woman, but she became a widow woman. And she was self-sufficient and she didn't want anybody helping her about anything. She just took care of her own work and her own house and did everything. But her eyesight began to fail. She still went right on doing everything. didn't submit to anybody helping her with anything about her home. Her eyesight failed till she was totally blind. But she was so familiar with her home and her kitchen and where everything was, and she could go right in her kitchen and prepare a good meal, and she knew right where everything was and where to get it, and she still didn't depend on anybody. But once in a while, they would come over to our place. When she got over to our place, it was strange to her. She didn't know her way around over there. So she had to depend on someone to lead her when she got over there. Someone to help her and take her where she wanted to go. That was strange territory. God will lead you and me into strange territory sometimes to cause us to recognize our dependence in a greater way on Him.
Amen.
We just, the things that we're familiar with and up to a certain point, it's all familiar territory to us. We can just close our eyes and go by ourselves, we feel. When we get along about like that, God will just lead us out in some way that is brand new to us. Somewhere that we haven't been, territory that we haven't tread before. And when we get out there, we don't know our way around. It's strange to us, and we're going to have to recognize our dependence on Him to lead us.
Amen.
God wants you and me to feel our dependence on Him. And when we get the kind of feeling self-sufficient down in our little nest or on our beaten path or our familiar territory, He'll just pick us up clear out of that and put us off out there in some strange circumstance or unusual condition somewhere or other that we don't know what to do.
Amen.
And we'll recognize, I need Him to lead me now. I need the Lord to help me now. I'm in a strange place here. I'm in unusual circumstances. I've never been up against this kind of a situation before. And I need the Lord to lead me here. I will bring the blind. Well, somebody says, I'm not blind, so he isn't talking about me. Well, he is me. Who is this blind person? The 19th verse here says, who is blind but my servant? Or deaf as my messenger that I sent. Who is blind as he that is perfect and blind as the Lord's servant? He's talking about you and me.
Yes, amen.
Folks, we need to be blind. I hope God will help us become more blind. I heard about a man in London, and you know London's noted for its fog. And he was looking for the post office. And the fog was so dense he couldn't tell where he was or his surroundings or anything. And as he was walking down through there, he bumped into a man on the street. He begged the man's pardon, but he says, I'm looking for the post office. Can you help me find the post office? The man said, yes, just take a hold of my arm and come with me. I'll lead you right to it. Well, they went down and turned a corner and went up another street a little ways, and the man said, now we're right in front of the post office. Just go to the right and go up the steps, and you'll be right in the post office. Well, the man thanked him for his courtesy and his assistance, but he said, I'd like to know how you find your way around here in this fog. Oh, he said, doesn't bother me a bit, says I'm blind. So it just doesn't bother me a bit. Folks, we need to be blind. There's a lot of fog around in the world today. Fogs of men's traditions and theories and ideas, and the spiritual atmosphere is just all fogged up, but we need to be blind. And then trust the Lord to lead us to where He wants us to go. I read about another man that had been so shot up and disfigured in the war that no one with eyes wanted to be around him. He just looked so dreadful. But there was one man that could help him. He could get close to him. He was a blind man. He couldn't see what he looked like. And he could get close to him. And he could help him. We see lives like this. People so messed up in their lives. Their lives so blotched. And they're so disfigured by sin that we think, well, I wouldn't want to be associated with a person like that. I wouldn't want to be around that kind of people. Folks, we just need to be blind to where we can just get right up close to that kind of people.
Amen.
And be a help to them.
Yes.
Be a blessing to them. Show them the way of life.
Amen.
God says, I'm going to lead the blind. God can't lead some of us because we see too much. And He's trying to lead us in a straight line, but look over here what's going on over here. And look how this fella's behaving. Look how this fella treated me. And look what this person said about me. And we're seeing so many things, He just can't lead us. We need to be blind. Who is blind as he that is perfect? And folks, I might say that the more blind we are, the more perfect we can be in the things of God. We just see too much. Sometimes people tell me, I try to reason with them. They say, I've just seen too much. They should have been blind all that time. Does not see all of that. I will bring the blind by a way that they know not, and I will lead them in paths that they have not known. And that's just about the only way the Lord can get a chance to lead some of us, is get us away off out here in some unusual kind of conditions and circumstances where we don't know what to do. And never was in a situation like this before. In the 27th Psalm, verse 11, the psalmist said, lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Now the margin at this point says, because of mine observers. There are folks observing you and me all the time. We don't know who they all are. But there are folks all the time that are observing you and me. And we need to walk surely. He says, ponder the path of thy feet and let thy ways be established. When we take a step, we need to know where we're stepping. When we do anything, we need to know how what we're doing. When we say anything, we need to know what we're saying. And we need to have weighed that out under divine inspiration to consider what the outcome of taking this step or doing this thing or saying this word is going to be before we do it. God deliver you and me from rashness. We do so many things rashly. Somebody says, I just say what I think. And I challenge some folks on that. I think you say and then think later. I believe there are some people like that. The psalmist is praying, lead me in a plain path. And I pray that God will lead you and me in such a plain path that we'll not be making a crooked line where we walk and as we go through. And we'll not be sidestepping. We'll not be having to back up. It's good to back up if you make a misstep. That's a good thing. You should do that. If you do something unwisely and discover that it was unwise and that you have committed an offense or hurt somebody with that, you should back up. But it's a lot better to not have to back up. Just be sure the steps we're taking when we take them. It's a common saying among us, better late than never. Somebody added to that and said, yes, but better never late. Well, I say it's better to back up if we do something, but it's still better to do the thing right to start with and not have to back up.
Amen.
Just let the Lord lead us. My advice to people that come to me seeking advice about this or that or the other, and they say, I don't know what to do. I say, well, the thing for you to do if you don't know what to do is not do anything till you do know what to do. Just don't do anything till you do know what to do. Know what you're doing and are led to the Lord in such a clear, definite way that you're satisfied with what you do and you know you did the right thing when you did it. Lead me in a plain path because of my observers. People that are looking on me. And if people follow me, I used to hear Sister Bush, I believe it was, often say in her testimony, she wanted to live so close to Christ that if people followed her, they'd get closer to Christ. Well, that's a good wish. That's a good desire. Every one of us should have it. But let us stop and ponder, if people followed me, where would they get to? Where would they wind up if people followed me? Lead me in a plain path because of mine observers. In the 23rd Psalm and verse 2, the psalmist said, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Folks, we're living in a turbulent world today. There's a lot of disturbance and turbulence and confusion and everything all around us. A lot of trouble everywhere, but Jesus said, keep it out of your heart.
Amen.
Don't let it get in your heart. Let not your heart be troubled.
Yeah.
You're in the midst of trouble. Trouble's on every side, and you may be in trouble yourself, but keep it out of your heart.
Yeah.
Let not your heart be troubled. He leadeth me beside the still waters. If you get in a turbulence and an agitation and stirred up and in a confused state and anxious, the Spirit of God didn't lead you into that. God just didn't lead you into that. God never leads people that way. He says He leads me beside the still waters. Calm, quiet, peaceful, restful place. That's the way the Spirit of God will lead you and me. When we get anxious about anything, let's remember, the Scripture says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Amen. I believe that the Lord's will is for His people to be at peace, to be calm, to be quiet, free from burden, free from care, free from worry, free from anxiety. The peace of God keeping our hearts and minds. Situations and conditions have contrived to bring you and me into anxiety. The Lord didn't lead us there. The Lord would just have led us to pray and commit those things to God and trust in Him, and His peace would have taken over and prevailed. He said in the 32nd chapter of Isaiah, the works of righteousness shall be peace, the effects of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever, and my people shall dwell in peaceable habitations and in quiet resting places when it shall hail coming down on the forest. That's great, folks.
Amen.
That's wonderful. If it sounds out of this world, it isn't. God has a place close to the heart of God. We sing that song, close to the heart of God. He has a place where we can nestle close to the heart of God and just dwell in a peaceable habitation and quiet, calm, resting place with a hailstorm just going on all around us and just beating everything down on every side. God, lead us to that place. Lead us to our refuge. God is our refuge and strength. His very present help in trouble. And we need to count it so.
Amen.
We need to accept it that way. Then he said in verse 3 of that 23rd Psalm, first let me say I was thinking of this, that when God made Adam and Eve in the beginning, the Bible says He came down in the cool of the day and talked with them. Folks, it's in that cool of the day experience that God will talk with you. God will assure your heart. God will bless your soul. God will secure you in that cool of the day experience.
Amen.
Some of us have our hearts in such a turmoil and such a disturbance that God would just about have to thunder to get us to hear. We couldn't hear the still, small voice. But it's when we're calm and quiet, led by the still waters in the cool of the day, free from the heated up, agitated state and condition of the world around us, and just resting our case quietly in the hand of God, that he can speak in a still, small whisper and we can hear and be comforted.
Amen.
Then he said in the third verse of that 23rd Psalm, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We can depend on the Spirit of God to lead us right. Jesus said he'll guide you into all truth. And he will lead you. And we can depend on the Spirit of God to lead us right. If we're just willing to follow. Yeah, but this doesn't fit with what I think. Well, that's a small matter, isn't it? If God has to be limited in his dealings with us by what we think, we can't depend on him for much. But if we can be willing to let God lead us regardless of what we think, and just lead us in the right way, yeah, but this doesn't look right. Well, you need to be blind at that point. It just doesn't look right to me. Well, he says, I'm going to lead the blind in paths that they have not known. He'll lead us in the paths of righteousness. And when it's all over, we'll see it was right. It didn't look right to us when we were going into it, and while we were passing through it, it didn't look right. I heard about a man down in Louisiana, near Gina. There's a big swamp down there, and they said that people that were born and raised right down there in that country and grown to an advanced age never did get to where they could go in that swamp and come out without a compass. It is so bewildering in there. Easy to lose your way. Well, one fella, he'd been born and raised there too. He was a grown man. He went in there without a compass one day, and he had a team and wagon, and he got as far as he could go, and there was a clearing there, and he tied his team up there, and he went on out in this swamp, and right away he was lost. He wandered around and around, and finally he met up with a man in there. He told the man, says, I'm trying to find my way out of here. I'm lost. He recognized that much, that he was lost. The man asked him a few questions, and he told him about having a team and that he tied it up at a certain clearing, and the man said, all right, he knew where that was, says, you come with me, I'll get you back to your team. So he had a compass and he started out, and this fellow argued with him all the way, said, I know this isn't right. The man said, all right, you just come on with me. Yeah, but says this isn't the right way. He said, we're not going toward where I left my team. All right, he said, just come on. And every little bit the man would say, I know this isn't right. Finally, they came out to the clearing, and there was the man's team right there where he had tied it. And the man said to him, says, is this your team? And he looked it over, and well, yeah, he said, that looks like my team, all right, but says, I don't know how they got there. That isn't where I left them. He was so bewildered that it didn't look right when he got to back to where he started. And the Lord may be leading you and me into certain things that are right for us. Will prove a blessing to our life, but we'll just argue with him all the way, every step. This isn't right. This doesn't look right. This doesn't correspond with my thinking. This just couldn't be right. But he brings us out in the end, and it proves to be right.
Amen.
And he says he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Amen.
That's important. Let us think of that. We represent God here. God's particular about who represents him. Jesus said, "You'll bear my name before this generation," but he's particular about who bears his name. He says, "Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Be living a right, clear, pure, holy life when you name my name.
Amen.
We're representing him. He wants to be represented right. It means a great deal to him for you to be right. We all like to be right, do we not? We always prefer to be right, and it's a little embarrassing to us when we're caught wrong. It means a great deal to us to just be right. But it means more to God for you to be right than it does to you. Because you're representing him.
Yes, Lord.
We're his workmanship. And our observers and the people of this world are looking on us to see what kind of a job God can do saving a sinner and making a saint out of him. That's what we all testify to. I was a sinner and God saved me and made a saint out of me. And he's in that business, and that's what he does.
Amen.
And the people are looking to see how good a job God can do of making a saint out of a sinner. And it means a great deal to God for you to be right.
Amen.
He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. To honor his name, to glorify him, because he's the one that made us right and led us in the paths of righteousness. In the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, in verse 2, he says, "I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood," that's from over across the river, "and I led him throughout all the land of Canaan." Now wait, I'm not getting the right scripture there. He said, "I would have you to remember the way that I led you these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to prove you and to see what was in your heart." God led them to humble them, and God leads you and me to humble us too.
Amen.
God gives grace to the humble. And our degree of victory is going to be measured by the degree of our grace. But moving on back another step, the degree of our grace is going to be measured by the degree of our humility. And God knows just how much grace we're going to need to face the conditions in life that he sees shaping up out there, coming up that we're going to have to meet. He knows just how much grace we're going to need. But we have to be humble to get that grace. And if he sees we need more grace, and he knows just how much grace it's going to take for us to stand boldly before him in the day of judgment, that's going to be something different to what's going on here now. Seems kind of easy for us to say, "Yeah, I'm all right, I'm clear with God, I'm up to date with him," but when it comes to standing before him in the judgment, we're going to have a lot of grace.
Amen.
He knows how much it's going to take. And he's going to lead you and me in ways to produce that degree of grace in us that we'll be able to do that when the time comes. If we'll just follow. But the key to it is humility. I led you all this way for 40 years in the wilderness to humble you. God will lead you and me in ways to humble us. One brother said he prayed and prayed and prayed for humility. Finally, he said it come. But he said when it come, it was labeled itch. That humbled him. That brought him down. Well, God permitted that. He then led that way to humble him. He said he discovered when God got through humbling him that it would have been a lot better for him to just humble himself way back up the line. Yeah. And to wait for God to humble him. But God will lead you and me into those circumstances and conditions that will humble us. And that will slaughter our pride and our self-sufficiency. And help us to recognize our utter and total dependence upon Him. He said, I led you this way to humble you. And many things happen in life to you and me that humble us. God led us that way. He saw we needed some more humility. Because we needed some more grace and we couldn't get it without more humility. Humility is the taproot of all things. I don't think of humility as just a grace among graces, or I don't think of it as just a principal grace. I think of humility as the taproot of all grace. Without it, we don't have any. And the more humility that we have, the more grace we have. If you want God's grace to be sufficient for you, just get humble. And if you need more grace for it to be sufficient, get more humble. That's the key to the whole thing. Humility is what is needed. And God led these people to humble them. And to prove them. And to see what was in their heart, whether they would serve Him or not. Who is it among us that don't feel better when we've been proved and we've proved out good, proved out all right? Every once in a while, somebody says to me about some peculiar circumstance that someone is in. Well, it says, I've never been there before, so I can't say just what I'd do. Or just how. I've never been in that situation before. But when we've been put to the test and proved true, we just feel so much better. It says, I led you to prove you. Prove you to your own self. He wanted you proved to Him too, but He knew what was in your heart before He did all of that. But He wants you and me to know ourselves. And when we've been put to a test and proved solid and true, we just come out feeling much encouraged and uplifted. Amen. That I went through that like I did. And He said to see what was in your heart, whether you'd serve me or not. He'll lead you and me in ways that we'll discover things about us that we never knew about ourselves before. Amen. God knows what's in your heart to start with. Yeah. But he wants to assure our hearts before him, and he wants to lead us in those ways that will enrich our lives and bless our souls and bring us into a closer relationship with him, and that he can be more real to our souls, and we can have a vision of the King and the glory before our eyes as we run this race, as we walk this walk. Amen.